Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Odyssey Sports presents Big Time Baseball with former Major Leaguer Tony Gwynn Jr. and Odyssey Insider Cody Decker.
Well, we are a week and a half into the 2022 season. A lot going down. Welcome in to another episode of Big Time Baseball. I'm Tony Gwynn Jr. alongside my guy Cody Decker. Cody, man, this first half of this, or first week and a half of the season has, I don't know, it hasn't been too surprising. The teams that I think we expected to be good are good, and the teams that we expect to be bad are bad. As of right now, it's only, what, 11, 12, 13 games at this point?
Mm-hmm. And another couple of teams have been surprising, another couple of teams on some slow starts. I'm looking at you, New York Yankees. And, you know, teams that I've really, I think, even like areas like Vegas have faded certain teams that I think deserve another really good look. And I've two teams that immediately come to mind. Detroit Tigers, I think, is a very good baseball team that's going to cause a lot of trouble for a lot of teams in Major League Baseball throughout the season. And the Seattle Mariners are my team this year, man. I love these guys over there in the AL West. So baseball is about as exciting as it's ever been.
Well, we got a lot of ground to cover today, but I want to talk about something first that you covered. I think you and John covered last week in that Giants Padres series. Once a year, it feels like we have to have this conversation about these quote unquote unwritten rules, and how archaic or how irrelevant or whatever your stance is on it. It popped its ugly head up again after the Giants were really bludgeoning the Padres through the first couple innings. You had a stolen base up, I think it was in the second inning, that didn't really bother me at all. I thought everybody was understanding that it was so early in the game. You can't really have a problem with it. But there was a bunt, I think it was in the fifth, that raised a lot of eyebrows, caught the heat from the Padres. It certainly looked like Gabe Kapler was telling Mauricio Dubon that he was in the wrong. But then the following day, he told the press that, you know, this is how we want to play baseball. And I wanted to get your take on this. I don't know what you and John actually talked about on this, but there seems to be some confusion about these so-called unwritten rules.
Yes. And, you know, we touched on this a little bit with John, but at the end of the day, you know, you and I both played this game. We both dealt with unwritten rules. We've dealt with consequences of unwritten rules many times. But this was one of those scenarios, and I do remember this very vividly, this particular play, because it was in the sixth inning. You know, they were up, the Giants were up 9 runs. And here's where I get into my things, because I'm seeing both sides of this entire argument. One, do I like unwritten rules? Do I like people getting after each other for unwritten rules? No. But on the flip side, I totally understand taking exception to being down 9 runs and someone laying down a drag bunt.
Without a doubt.
Because there is something Gabe Kapler said. We want to be competitive. Yeah, you know, we want to fight until the end. And he is right. You got to go for everything you can. You can't let go of the jugular on any team. But there is the aspect, you're talking about being competitive. There's nothing competitive about a drag bunt up 9 runs. And you saw Gabe Kapler's reaction. Hell, you saw the Padres' reaction. You saw Bob Melvin's reaction. They were pissed. You saw Mauricio Dubon come back in the dugout and get a stern talking to from Gabe Kapler.
Certainly seemed like it, right?
Yeah. And it seemed as though Mauricio was nodding his head up and down as if he completely understood what he did and made a mistake. And then Gabe Kapler came out the next day and defended his guy. First things first, kudos to Gabe Kapler. I think everything he said was right.
Right.
Two, I love that he went out and defended his player, and I hope that Tony La Russa can immediately learn something from this.
Absolutely.
Three, do not bunt up nine runs. Don't do it. It's just stupid. It's not competitive. There's nothing about it that's competitive. If anything, it just seems as though you're trying to chase your own stats and raise your own average. So honestly, to me, it seems more of a selfish play than a team play. Four, on top of that, listen, the Padres, I'm a little confused on why the Padres of all teams are so angry, because this is a team that breaks more unwritten rules than any five teams. This is a team that 2 years ago hit the grand slam up five runs with
3-0 count.
On a 3-0 count, and everyone was mad at them, and everyone's like, well, what unwritten rules? Unwritten rules are stupid. You can't play both sides, Padres. There are either unwritten rules or there aren't. You can't be mad and happy at the same time. Stop being stupid.
That is 100% a fair argument to have in terms of what happened 2 years ago and what happened in that first or second series against the Giants of the year. I'll say this. I like what Gabe did, because as a manager, you do have to at least project that you have your guys back, and they know it. It's one thing to say something to them in private, but it's a completely different thing to go public with it. And we saw the ramifications of that last year with the White Sox and Tony La Russa. Now, it worked out for them. Those guys seem to be able to get over it. But I say this, I think too many times when we start talking about the unwritten rules, the competitive aspect gets lost in this. Regardless of what sports you're playing, nobody likes to get beat down, right? And when you feel like somebody's rubbing it in, of course you're going to be mad about it. There's no unwritten rule about that. Like, that is just the concept of competitive sports, right? You don't want nobody kicking you while you're down. Secondly, I think technically, when Gabe says this is how we want to play, I think he's 100% right. That is how they want to play. I think every team wants to keep their foot on the gas and play their best baseball. However, like you said, I don't know how bunting is getting you there, right? And the other thing that I think complicates this whole situation, because I think those who have played the game understand the rules. They understand why they exist, at least most of them. Some of them, I think you and I both agree, are just stupid. They never have made sense, but that's neither here or there. I think for the public that's on the outside looking in that doesn't understand it, it certainly doesn't help things when Gabe is, at least visually, looks like he is coming down on Dubon, but then publicly saying something different, because it keeps this narrative that, you know, baseball's archaic and they have these stupid rules that don't make sense to anybody who hasn't played. So now we have to have the conversation. Ken Rosenthal kind of wrote an article about, you know, basically praising Gabe Kapler for his throwing away of the unwritten rules. The reality is that those rules are never going to go away. And here's why. That competitive element that we talked about will always exist. So no matter how, you know, times change and we move forward in how we compete with one another, that element's never going to go away, because ultimately we're all playing this sport because we like to compete. And so I just feel like sometimes it's disingenuous when we start to have this conversation about unwritten rules being archaic, being this and that. It is the way the game is governed. It's just there's no getting around that. And it's governed that way because these are some of the most competitive people in the world. So I don't see how it ever changes, honestly. Like, this has been going on from, I don't know, the 20s through the 30s, 40s, all the way up here to 2022. And it hasn't changed. Times have changed, but that competitive thing will never change.
Absolutely. And it's not just, and by the way, I know people point at baseball because baseball seems to be the main culprit of this, but it's not the case. I mean, look at basketball.
Yeah.
If a team is down 30 points and the home team that's up 30 points goes ahead and slams a dunk over somebody's head and breaks the backboard, a fight is going to break out.
or even if a guy gets a breakaway layup with about 2 minutes left, or and he decides to throw a ball off the backboard and do a windmill, guess what? Somebody's going to have a problem. The only sport that really doesn't have this issue is football and hockey. You know why? Because within their rules, they can take care of that stuff and it's completely legal. So it just kind of goes over people's heads. But it happens all the time in those sports. So
absolutely.
I think baseball takes the brunt of it because it's supposed to be the gentleman's sport and this, that, and the other. But, you know, I just think it's, the more of these articles I see that are asking, why do these rules exist? They don't make sense. Well, they don't make sense to people who've never played. I promise you, the reason why they also still exist is because despite the, you know, six or seven guys that that may be interviewed and say they don't like the rules or they don't understand them, there's a reason why teams continue to have retaliation back to, because not most of the guys in the league, even if they don't necessarily agree with all of them, they understand them. And that's mm-hmm. why this will keep coming up year after year after year. And so at some point we got to dead this conversation. And, you know, the other thing, Cody, is you and I played in a league at that time that I think across the board, there was an understanding of what was cool, what was not cool. But now we got different organizations kind of having their own, I don't want to say their own rules, but their own meaning to the rules and how they are actually portrayed. Because as you said, the Giants will say, hey, this, we want to keep the gas pedal on. The Padres will even say, we want to keep the gas pedal on. But then you have a White Sox that's like, hey, we're playing the game within these guidelines. And so as Bob Melvin, I think he put it perfectly, nobody's right, nobody's wrong. We just have a difference of opinion.
Yes.
It's just going to keep happening, though. That's my point.
But it's the other thing about those unwritten rules and the retaliations and all these things that I think fans don't quite understand. They're not for the fans.
Right.
It's honestly for the players to police themselves. And I know some of it seems archaic, and it is. There's a lot of it that is archaic and childish, I might add.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we are archaic and childish. We're baseball players.
All right, that's enough of the serious conversation. Let's jump into the West Coast of baseball, which a lot of people believe is the best coast, especially in the game of baseball. Dodgers, Giants, still doing what they do, right? I mean, I think you and I both agree the Dodgers, there's no surprise there. But the Giants, despite losing a Chris Bryant, a Kevin Gausman, are still playing some quality baseball. I saw it up close and personal. They dissected Yu Darvish in his second start of the year, putting up, and that was in the game, by the way, that we were having this discussion about. They got that lead on Yu Darvish. Giants, man, they just keep finding a way to win ball games.
Another name you mentioned not being there. How about Buster Posey isn't there?
Yeah, how about that one?
How about Evan Longoria starting the year on the IL? I mean, this is half the team they had last year, and they're still not going away. It's just a massive credit to what that organization is just doing with that quote-unquote Rays model / Dodgers model / Giants model. Just incredible what these two teams can do. But yeah, Dodgers, best team in baseball. They're just, I feel like they're never going to lose again. And I don't even love their starting rotation at the moment.
Yeah.
It seems as though a Gonsolin start game is a bullpen game. And this team, 7-3, they haven't even started swinging the bat well yet.
Every time I see Freddie Freeman, I'm seeing singles. Like I he hadn't even got to hitting the ball at the ballpark yet. I don't know if Mookie's got going yet. I haven't seen him really heat up yet.
Yeah, Justin Turner too. These three guys have done nothing so far this season, and they're still steamrolling guys. They've scored like 40 runs on the weekend. It's just, they're scary.
I watched them dissect Hunter Green, who was throwing pellets at anywhere between 100 and 102. And by the sixth inning, they got to him. And it was a methodical approach. These guys were, you know, fighting, battling, and eventually they got him down the zone. Because obviously when you're throwing that hard and you're up in the zone, it's just going to be tough to deal with. I don't care who you are. But eventually they got him down in the zone, and they just went ahead, picked away. I think they ended up scoring 7 runs when that game was all said and done. And it's an old hat at this point, but it's a very good one, man. These cats just they just figure out different ways. Them and the Giants have been impressive to start. Now, the next best team besides those two is actually beginning a series against the Giants starting today, the New York Mets. Now, I think I feel like the last couple of years we've said the Mets, this is the team. This is the team that should be winning the East, and they have failed us miserably. They seem to be at least headed in the right direction to start this season.
You know, losing DeGrom at the beginning of the year hurts a lot. And not only that, hurts as a baseball fan, because remember last year how we were talking about DeGrom those first 2 months? We were seeing something we've never seen. I know we talked about what Ohtani did last year as being superhuman. Yeah. We weren't even talking about Ohtani for the first 2 months of the season. That's how good DeGrom was. It was just incredible. And now adding Max Scherzer, you know what you have with Max Scherzer. And what, but having the chance to see Tyler McGill kind of come out of his shell a little bit these first couple of starts, and he's going tonight, I'm looking very forward to seeing what he can do, not to mention a guy we never talk about for some reason. Taijuan Walker is a stud over there with the Mets. He's been a stud since he's joined that team. I like this team and this team's offense. Man, Lindor looks like he's back to being Lindor. Marte is a beast.
Everywhere Marte goes, man, he makes the team better. Everywhere he goes, he makes the team better.
It's unreal. And also, by the way, I feel like we don't actually mention this either. That guy's a unit and a half. You ever see him outside of a uniform?
Yes, I have.
Sweet Jesus.
Yeah, he's well put together. You know, and you mentioned the pitching staff. We didn't mention Bassett, the kid they got from Oakland. He's been lights out. And so they're doing this all without Jacob DeGrom, and they don't even know when he's going to get back. He's got the stress fracture in his shoulder. They have no idea when they're going to get him back yet. They've had all 4 of those starters you mentioned step up. The offense has been what we thought it would be last year. Remember, that was the main issue last year. They got good pitching last year when they had Stroman and Walker and those guys in that rotation.
They couldn't hit.
And that was the most mind-blowing thing that we thought. But now, at least through the first 10 games they've played, they have hit. And that makes them an extremely dangerous team, especially in that city of New York.
What's funny, though, real quick, Tony, is that team last year we thought was going to rake. We looked at that lineup and like, this is an unreal lineup. You know, you got Dom Smith. You got Pete Alonso. You got Lindor. Now you got those 3 guys and you're adding on the following names. Marte, you're adding on, how about Escobar, a real solid switch hitting guy. Like, this team is just loaded to the gills, man.
Now, I'm not going to ask. It's too early. I'm not a big fan of power rankings in general, but especially not, you know, a week and a half into the season. But aside from those 3, is there any other team that's caught your eye from the National League side?
Yeah, and it's pissing me off because I don't want this team to catch my eye and I want them to go away.
who's that?
We can't pretend that the Colorado Rockies are not 6-3 right now.
Oh, man, Dick Monfort has done it again. It's hard to figure out exactly what the Rockies were doing. But I guess when they're playing this well this early, it gives some credence to it. I still don't understand it per se, but they have won some games. And listen, you never really know what you're going to get from a team out in Colorado. You just don't. Like, they'll come out of nowhere and have an offensive juggernaut. They'll be able to pitch. And then it'll disappear. Now, is this real? I don't know. But you certainly got to give them some credit early in the season. They've played some pretty good baseball.
Yes, they have. And they've been swinging it great. And by the way, of the signs, I know a lot of people were looking at the Chris Bryant sign as a big thing for them. That wasn't the sign that made me go like, oh, nice. It confused me. But the sign that, the sign that made me go, oh, nice, was just reloading a player they already had. And that's CJ Cron, a right-handed power hitter who constantly puts up 30 to 40 every year, yet no one wants for some reason.
Yeah, it's they've put together a roster in which, especially the Bryant thing, as you said, it was confusing, right? Because it was not what a year ago that they moved off of Arenado and paid $50 million to get him up off
and,
of their roster
and couldn't secure Story or make a trade to get back a haul for him.
Yeah, so it didn't make any sense. So then when they signed Bryant, it was just like, okay, are you guys trying? What are you guys trying to do here? Because all signs pointed to that you wanted to dump salary. You didn't want salary. Now this tells me you actually do want salary. You are trying to win. And listen, one of my favorite managers doesn't get enough credit for the teams that he guides a lot of time, but Bud Black gotta be feeling pretty good right now, I say, a week and a half into the season. Now, will it last? I'm not sure. I think we'll find out in these coming months, but certainly they deserve a nod, at least in the first week and a half. How about the Cardinals, Braves, Marlins, Padres? We just talked about the Rockies. In terms of the Cardinals, I haven't seen them enough yet. I have watched the Braves. This is still a very dangerous lineup, man, mm-hmm. 1-9. They haven't gotten going yet, but I tell you what, man, their starting pitching's pretty good.
Yeah,
I mean, they got a bunch of young dudes. The Padres, they beat up Morton pretty good, who was their best starter, or one of their best starters. But the two young guys that came after, I think it was Elder last night. It was it Kyle? Gosh, I gotta remember his last name. But they were pretty good, man, and they gave the Padres a lot of problems. They only scored two runs in the last three games. One of them they got a win in, but certainly that's a team that and by the way, Ronald Acuña is not even back yet.
Yeah.
He just left for a rehab assignment yesterday. So this team is pretty good. Ian Anderson was on that rotation as well. This team is good, man. I won't be surprised that them and the Mets are going at each other down the stretch here, because they got a lot of talent, man. They really do.
Let's remember that this team won the World Series last year, and at the trade deadline, they were roughly 10 games under 500. And this team currently is only one game under 500 without Ronald Acuña Jr. And by the way, currently this team's better than they were last year. So I think they're going to be just fine despite the 5-6 start. Obviously, the Padres are a pretty damn good team. They're currently 6-5. There's a bunch of teams throughout this league that are just a lot better than we've given credit for. Again, the Rockies are starting to intrigue me. I think it's going to fall to pieces again, like we expect it to. And then we can get back to our tried and true ongoing bit of poor Bud Black has never given a team. But man, honestly, it's pissing me off. I want them to stop doing this because they're making me look bad.
Yeah, no doubt. By the way, the kid's name is Kyle Wright. He was another starter that was very impressive in his start. So listen, those three, four teams, we talk about the Padres. They are, I think they're right where they should be. Right.
You know,
now.
You talked about the Cardinals a little bit. That offense can go toe to toe with just about any team in Major League Baseball, with the exception of maybe the Dodgers, but man, they're swinging it real good.
Yeah, no. And listen, they got they have the best defensive outfield in all of baseball. They got some guys with Bader and O'Neill. They can go get it, man. And obviously, you know, it doesn't hurt to add even in his elder statesman, doesn't hurt to add a DH like Albert Pujols in there. And who, by the way, is raking to start the season.
So amazingly, yes.
He's back at home doing his thing. Let's slide over to the AL. Rangers, team that stood out so far. The Angels have stood out so far. And how about this? We've been on their heads for the last few years because clearly they have a phenomenal offense, but the pitching has always been a little suspect. Now, all of a sudden, you got Ohtani at the top of that staff. Syndergaard has looked terrific through his first couple of starts. They're a team that I'm keeping my eye on, especially in the AL West, where I think things are as wide open as they've been in quite some time, because the Astros have dominated that division. And so now you're looking at it, and this division with the Seattle Mariners, the Astros are still a good team. The Angels, they could make a run at this division.
They could, especially with that offense. Their pitching, you know, you mentioned Ohtani and Syndergaard, but after that, their bullpen
gets a little thin.
Yeah, it gets a little shaky post those two names. And we're also assuming that both those names can stay healthy all year.
Yeah.
And I desperately want them to, because I want to see the Angels in the playoffs. Desperately. I'd love to see a change of the guard in the AL West. In fact, I even bet on a change of the guard in the AL West. I went ahead and took the Mariners at +450 earlier this year because I love this team. team, dude. I think this is a team that's going to finally get a chance to get in the playoffs for the first time in 20 years. I love the Mariners currently sitting, you know, they're off to the same start as everyone else in the division. Everyone's about 500. Angels are 6-4, Astros 5-4, Seattle 5-5. So there's a little bit of parity in there. The only team really that hasn't really done anything yet is the Texas Rangers, who's currently 2-7, despite the fact they went out and spent a ton of money on some offense. But we can kind of look at that offense and pitching staff and know they're at least another year and a half away. But I gotta say, the AL West intrigues me, and I have not been intrigued in the AL West in quite
a while.
Time.
Right?
Yeah.
There's really been no reason. So you make a good point about the Rangers. As splashy of moves that they made during the offseason, bringing in Seager, bringing in Semien, they still are a year away. Those are just two pieces that eventually will help you kind of, you know, move along to get into the playoffs and deep. But there's still a few more moves that have to be made. And they seem to be taking the right approach. They spent some money this year. They didn't spend as much as they could, right? And so there'll be some money to spend next year if they need to add to that. Well, when they need to add to that pitching, I think they're hoping on young guys like Hearn, the lefty, who's in that rotation, will come along quicker and to speed up that process. But 2-7, although I didn't expect them to be great right away, I am surprised that they're 2-7. That's good enough for last in that division. So even Oakland still finding a way to be at 500 at this point, which that team is pretty much trying their best to get out of winning games, it seems like.
They're trying their best to get out of Oakland. Like they're doing everything they can to not win and have a fan base, yet they're still figuring out a way. Hell, the Pirates are even figuring out a way to stay 500 right now.
Here's the cold part about Oakland trying to get out. You know, in order to get out of a place, you got to have a place to go. And although Vegas is looking for a team, are they really looking to bring in the ownership of the Oakland A's at this point? It would seem like that wouldn't be the type of move Las Vegas would pull, right? It's one thing to bring in a Raiders organization that's all time. They got a Davis still running the show. But all of the problems Oakland had with the ownership for the Athletics, I don't know if they even want the team at that point.
In my personal opinion, I think Vegas is a great city for an expansion. I think there's like five cities that we should be already. The fact that we haven't had expanded in Major League Baseball in the last 20 years is a little, you know, strange to me. We have so many of the best baseball players and athletes we've ever had. You're telling me we can't at least fill another three Major League teams right now in major market cities like a Portland, Oregon, a Montreal, Canada, a Mexico City, Mexico, Las Vegas, Nevada, Nashville, Charlotte. I mean, there are major markets that are ready to go. And obviously Vegas is right at the top of that list.
All right, before we get out of here, we wouldn't have a big time baseball show if we didn't talk about the Yankees. And you kind of mentioned them a little bit earlier in the show, but they get beat. They lose 2-3 to the Baltimore Orioles, who by most people's standards aren't trying to win very many games either. But however, they took 2-3 from the Yankees. What's your thought on the Yankees, man? Is this team going to live up to the potential that they have it the last couple of years?
I'm going to answer this question with a one word answer blindly right out the gate. And then I want to explain myself. No.
Okay.
The answer is no, because already, and I actually said this the other day. I was on New York radio the other day. I got to spend 4 hours on WFAN co-hosting with Craig Carton, and it was an amazing experience. And I got a lot of great phone calls from New Yorkers throughout the entire show. Here's what I know about just all New York fan bases, specifically the Yankees and Mets. Both sides are absurdly delusional on the exact opposite side of the spectrum.
Explain.
Yeah, in that the Mets fans are delusional and saying every year, this is the year. This is the year we're going to do it. Look at this team. We got them. We got to do it. The Mets, baby. Where on the other side, the Yankee fans are more like, oh, no, yeah. We already did it. We're the Yankees. We already won the championship and the next 28 championships. It's just the weirdest dichotomy that, like, one side is always the underdog. One side's always the king. Yet they're not the king. They act like they've won every championship the last 100 years. They haven't even been in the World Series in 12.
Yeah, no, New York fan base is is delusional, special, as you said, on both sides. and that's the interesting part, right? The Mets are of the thought process. Mets fans are of the thought process almost like, yes, this is the year, but when is the bad stuff going to happen? Like, mm-hmm. they're bracing for it. Whereas Yankee fans, it almost like it surprises them when their team is like ends up not out of it. Even if they've been watching every game of the entire season, at the end of the year, if their team is not in the playoffs, they will be absolutely stunned. It's amazing. Every year.
That fan base is a victim of their dominance in the 90s and 2000s.
Yeah.
And that's something to say, that their dominance in the 90s and 2000s were so staggering that the previous 120 years of Yankees didn't even matter. That's how dominant they were during that time. But keep in mind, that was during a time where they were really the only team that owned their own television network. So when it comes to money, they had more money than any two teams combined. That is not the case anymore.
Yeah, no, it's teams have caught up. And more importantly, teams have found other ways to be competitive besides spending boatloads of money in spring training. And that's been the biggest difference, I think, in terms of people catching up to the Yankees, that Yankees run of the 90s. Teams figured out ways they can still be competitive. So we certainly will see how that rocks. It's only been a week and a half, lots of baseball to go. We're going to shut it down for this episode of Big Time Baseball. Cody, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Decker6 and, of course, Instagram, Antihero Baseball. And also check out everything I'm doing for Odyssey and all these shows all over the place. Most importantly, like, share, and subscribe to Big Time Baseball on your favorite platforms, wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Oh, and also, by the way, quick question before we completely shut out.
Yeah.
Do you think the Yankees will be okay? Because there is one thing that scares me. You know how the sticky stuff thing was always Garrett Cole's controversy?
Yeah.
I think that should be shifted to Chapman's controversy now, the way he's throwing the ball.
Yeah, he has not looked good. And it's when you've had a dominant closer like that, and all of a sudden he's not dominant anymore. And listen, he could get it back, but he certainly hasn't looked good to start. And you couple that with the issues you already have, yeah, Aaron Boone's probably not feeling great right now, for sure. But there's plenty of time to go. You can catch me on Twitter at Tony Gwynn Jr., on IG at Tony_Gwynn Jr., 9 to 5, excuse me, not 9 to 5, that'd be way too long.
Wow, you are doing so much radio.
2 to 6, Monday through Friday on 97.3, The Fan out here in San Diego. You can also catch me on the radio broadcast with the Padres. We'll catch you next week. Cody and I will have more baseball for you then. Take care.